Welcome to the Indestructible Podcast, hosted by Danny Connell.
And so, folks, today I'm speaking here with Edward Siegel. Edward is a journalist who's currently editor-in-chief at the Sundial. Me and Edward actually met when we had been speaking for a while about Edward doing a news story on the feature film The Fall that we've spoken about before on the show. And so after that, after speaking with Edward, I just knew I wanted to have him on the show because he is a great example of somebody that was passionate about something, worked hard at it, and has now risen through the ranks to where he is today. So Edward, the first thing I'd like to get into with you, how did you know that journalism was something you wanted to pursue? Were you always curious about news? Tell us about that.
I actually, funny enough, kind of just maybe fell into it a little bit. It wasn't my first major. I was a psychology major first back in my community college, LAVC. And I tried that out and I found out that I kind of liked learning about that, but I didn't really see it as my future. And one thing I did always like was sports. I always liked watching sports. I grew up playing basketball. And, over the years, I developed into a pretty good writer. And so I wanted to try putting those two together. And that's when I joined the Valley Star, the student publication at my community college. And I really loved it. And I was a writer at first, then became the campus life editor. And then after that, I transferred to CSUN and joined the Daily Sundial as a sports editor. But I really loved the rush of energy you get from kind of being at the sports game, watching it, talking to the players afterwards, and then writing the story, and being the one to inform, all of your like readers, about the game, about the results, and just how it felt for the people who weren't at the game to be able to, show people how it felt. I really enjoyed getting to do that. And then, over time, I transitioned that into broadcasting as well. I started doing play-by-play for games at LAVC. I became a broadcast major at CSUN, joined Valley View, which is our TV news station, and which also allowed me to, it gave me a voice, like a physical like voice. I was actually able to kind of voice the kind of the emotions of it all and really kind of, show people how great the game is, or what's happening in the game through my commentary, through all these experiences, I really appreciate you saying about like how I went through the ranks and all that. I eventually became managing editor after a year of being sports editor, and now I'm editor in chief. So yeah, it really has been a journey. It's been a really fun journey, and I've learned a lot from it, a lot about myself, a lot about what I want to do, and a lot about journalism. And yeah, it was completely like the whole thing was completely worth it. And it was probably one of the best decisions I've made in my life.
And I love what you said there, Edward, that you kind of found different avenues as you went on. I think that's an important thing for people to hear, because oftentimes, when people first graduate high school, they get that big question, what do you want to do? What do you want to pursue? And, that's a big thing, like to decide right off the get what you're going to get into. So I think hearing from somebody like you that kind of found their passion, still all the while you kept true to who you are, your passion for writing, your passion for sports, and you found different cool creative ways to convey that. And when you're talking about doing broadcasts, I kind of perfectly could envision that, because you kind of have like one of those classic like play-by-play voices that you could kind of hear with a sports game.
People have told me that like before, but I don't know. I never, maybe it's just a thing, but I just never liked my own voice, but everybody always tells me that. And I don't know, my voice sounds weird to me, but everybody always says that like I have, it's like a natural voice for radio, for sports broadcasting, which I'm glad to hear. That's awesome.
Yeah, you just got announced the home run. Boom! Yeah. And there it goes. The game here. Winner. I was going to say, speaking of broadcasting sports, what kind of challenges does somebody face? Because I think from the outside looking in, people that may not understand actual broadcasting and all the complexities that go into it, yeah, what are some challenges that you've kind of maybe faced along the way learning that?
Yeah, the biggest challenges were probably just, being prepared going into it, knowing who all the players are, knowing like all the players' stats, who sticks out and what areas and being able to spit out like random facts at different points to keep it interesting. That's like the toughest part, is having all that ready, knowing all of that. Getting the chance to do it at my community college allowed me to do it at a place where the stakes were really low, and I could really learn all of that without it being high stakes. It's because it is a community college, but that's what I learned, is you just have to really be prepared. You have to know all of that in advance. And if you go into it like knowing all those facts, it just becomes so much easier, because it allows you to just commentate the play-by-play and have everything else kind of ready in your mind when you need it. Like if the refs are reviewing something and the game stalls, or if it's like a timeout, whatever the case may be, you'll have all that ready. So that's the toughest thing, is just being prepared enough and knowing all of the different facts there are to know going into it.
And was there ever an instance where, let's say, you called somebody by a different name, or you kind of maybe did a slight little bit of an accident here or there?
Yeah, that definitely happens a lot, and it's important to know that, it's okay, especially if you catch it, you correct it, or if somebody else, like your broadcast partner, catches it and corrects it. Things like that happen. Mistakes happen. And again, that's why it helped that I was doing it at such low stakes. But yeah, that's happened to me. I have called someone by their teammate's name by accident, especially when it was like my first or second game, like with that team, and I was still learning who everybody is. I didn't really know how everybody looked going into the game. So, that happened a bit in the beginning, but as you kind of get familiar with the team, you kind of know what everybody looks like and what their names are and everything. It becomes easier. So it does take time, but mistakes like that happen. It's part of it. It's part of it.
And speaking of sports, what are some of your favorite sports to watch, your favorite teams?
Yeah, it's funny. We were actually talking about that when I interviewed you about the fall. You mentioned loving the LA Kings. That's my team. Too bad we lost to the Ducks a couple days ago. We're playing the Flames today, fighting for a playoff spot. But yeah, go Kings, go. That's my ride or die. I love the LA Kings, and the Lakers. Growing up playing basketball, coaching it, just being involved in it in every way that I was, it became my favorite sport. And the Lakers are my team. I think they're the team of LA, not the Clippers. It's always the Lakers city. So I love basketball. I love broadcasting it. The Lakers are my favorite team. But I also got into like football recently a little bit more and became a Rams fan, and started to love the nature of kind of the way all the games were like on Sundays and stuff, and you could just have one day where all the games are taking place. And baseball too. Except the thing with baseball is, because the season is so long, it's tough to like care in the beginning. So like when the NBA and NHL playoffs are over, that's when I start really tuning in to the MLB. And then soccer, of course, is the other one. I'm a Galaxy fan. Don't like LAFC at all, with all their displaced Chivas USA fans. It's all about the Galaxy and our five championships. I am really a fan of all the home teams here in LA. I'm from LA, so I'm a Dodgers fan as well. I didn't mention that, but yeah, I'm a fan of all the LA teams. So yeah, I really like all the different sports, and watching it is fun. It's just exhilarating, and the adrenaline rush you get, it's like nothing else.
And if you had to pick, like, let's say if all the stars were aligned and your journey down the road pans out exactly as you'd like, is there a dream team that you would love to call for, or what would that look like?
Yeah, the Lakers would be my dream team to call for. Being the next Chick Hearn, if it all works out, I know that probably won't happen, but just obviously having to follow in the footsteps of somebody like that is no easy task. But I would love to get the chance to broadcast for the Lakers. That's always been my team. And just the number of legends they've had that I've had the chance to watch, guys like Kobe. It would just be a great honor to be able to call play by play for a team like that. That's my dream right there. If all goes according to plan, if I do get my dream job, that's what it would be.
I love that. I just have this vision, bro, of
Yeah.
turning the tuner on the car and just like, what? That's Edward, man. And just hearing you call some play, man, that's fantastic.
Yeah, you could incorporate that into one of your films.
There
Like,
you go,
you could
man.
have
We'll
a theme
cast
with
you as
that.
the announcer, the sports
Yeah.
announcer. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
And when it comes to conveying a story, let's say not sports related, but let's say dealing with a little bit more of a heavier topic, we don't have to get into specifics, but just how do you navigate telling a story while, of course, remaining truthful, but also remaining respectful to the people you're telling it about?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because it is something that as a journalist you like it's there's two sides of it. You have to maintain your honesty, and you have to tell the story in a truthful way that way what kind of weighs both sides equally. But then you also have to, recognize like it's a heavy topic. People have their thoughts about it, and it's topic there's topics that are difficult to cover, and people have been through a lot, and you got to respect that. And when you talk about that, you talk about them in your stories, you got to respect what they've been through. And like, for example, all of the coverage that we've done in the Sundial for the conflict in the Middle East, that's probably one of the heaviest topics we've covered. And the key to that is, we cover it. The main thing we cover is just the events happening on campus, the vigils and all of that. But you have to find a way to balance it out and kind of cover both sides equally, so it doesn't seem like skewed to one side. And you got to be very, like when you're talking to the people, you just got to be very respectful, because, especially if they're like connected to the conflict in some way, you got to be respectful, listen to their stories. Listening is the biggest thing. You just got to listen. Kind of based on the situation, you'll kind of know what types of questions to ask. Sometimes you could ask your hardball questions. Sometimes you can avoid them if they're like getting really emotional and you don't want to hit them with the heavy questions. But you just got to be respectful, and you just got to listen. And that's the biggest part of it. And if you do a good job listening, you hear their stories out, it'll be so much easier to write fairly, to write in a balanced way, and to make sure that, you're just writing fairly to the people. And that's what it's all about. It's just about the people and writing fairly to all of them. And you're never going to please everyone, and that's another important thing to know, especially with something like this. People are going to have their thoughts. You're just not going to please everyone. But as long as even if you just please like one person, you did something right, which is a good way of looking at it. But you just got to be respectful of everybody as best as you can be.
And when it comes to dealing with heavier topics, have you ever encountered an instance where you've had maybe somebody, maybe not even directly at you, but have you ever had an instance where people came at the Sundial for reporting something that they felt wasn't exactly right or anything of that sort?
We always get people like reaching out on like social media and things like that, and just telling us that our coverage is biased or that they don't like our coverage. You know how social media gets. People hide behind their accounts and always just, sometimes they like for example, like this isn't connected to me, but like you saw what happened in like March Madness in the Iowa UConn game, how that one player on Iowa got threats for something she like had nothing to do with. It was a call that the ref made, and she got threats. Social media is a very dangerous thing these days, and really, if you're in the eye of the public, you're going to get messages like that, and it's one of those things you're going to have to find a way to kind of compartmentalize. And we do get those, especially when covering heavy topics like Israel and Palestine. There's going to be people unhappy. One side or the other is going to be unhappy about something. So you just have to find the best way to be fair to both sides. Give them both equal coverage, especially something like this that's not black and white, that's not like one side is fully right, one side is fully wrong. It's a lot of gray area. So, you just got to do your best to really just be fair to all of the different sides of the story.
Absolutely. And steering a little bit away from heavier topics like that, what have been just from your past history, what have been some of your favorite stories that you've gotten the opportunity to cover, to tell? What have been some of your favorite stories?
Well, yours was really fun to tell.
Thank you.
And then there was one that I actually did at my community college. I'm particularly proud of this one because it was in my first semester of being a journalist. Like, I didn't really have that much experience, and I was able to pull it off. I had this psychology professor who was also the advisor of the Gender and Sexualities Alliance club at CSUN. And I did a profile on her. I kind of wrote about her life growing up, how she came out and figured out like her own identity. And so I wrote that story for the Valley Star. And I think she said it even like made her tear up a little bit. And that just made me really proud that I wrote a story in such a way that, it kind of made the person I wrote it about a little emotional. And it really pulled at those heartstrings a little bit, because that's what you want to do as a journalist when you're writing about people's stories, is you want to find a way to kind of, pull out those heartstrings, find what's what's going to bring out those emotions, because that's what's going to stick with the readers and with the person you're writing about. So that one was really rewarding, because I also did it in my first semester, and I don't know how. So
Yeah.
that one, I would say. And you'd probably expect me to say something in sports, and I've written a lot of sports stories, but that's the thing, like, sports is easier to write than stories like that. So that's one I'm particularly proud of.
Because to me, right there, Edward, just you speaking about how that was your freshman's time dealing with that, it just shows to us here on the show that you've had this in you, this journalistic integrity to tell a story in a truthful way and in a powerful way that, like you said, the subject involved, sometimes they can feel that they maybe get made fun of or they feel they get taken advantage of. But in this case, that obviously was not what happened. They felt like, whoa, Edward was able to capture who I am. And then, like you said, they were almost driven to tears. So that's just such a beautiful thing. And like you said, aside from sports, is there like a dream story or if there's like a dream scenario thing that you would love to cover? Let's say if something, and it doesn't have to be anything like crazy or anything, but just is there a story that you've just always felt like, I would love to either cover that or tell that story?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I've never really been asked that before, and I honestly never thought about that too much. Ooh, that's a tough one. Now that's gonna make me think right there, because for me, I always just think about like things I want to write in sports and stuff, but I never really think too much about what a dream story would be for me outside of sports. But I guess what it would be is like if I could find a story that would really make a difference in people's lives. Something about like a big issue that either the community is facing, or our country as a whole, whether it's something like homelessness, or overpopulation, or even one thing I do really I do have my thoughts about is how this bipartisan system just isn't really working right now, how it's just dividing people. So if I could write a story about that, that would really make a difference in people's lives, which would be tough to do because when it comes to that, people have their views. But if I could find a way to really reach people, make a difference in their lives, and get them to see that they got to come together in spite of their different beliefs. And that's the only way we could, build this country, back up and solve these other issues. That would probably be my dream story, is being the person who could help trigger that.
And Edward, as you've spoken to us and told us of your journey now as the editor, are you able to now convey your knowledge and your experience now to upcoming journalists? Because on the show, we always like to give advice to people. We always like to give people kind of a little bit of a way in for maybe on the outside that they may not know how to get started. So for anybody who's interested in journalism, what advice would you have for that person?
Yeah, that's actually my favorite part of being the editor in chief, is getting to sit down with writers, helping them out with their stories, giving them advice on how they could kind of become better journalists, how they could report on their stories and make them the best stories that they can be. And seeing them develop into great journalists is one of my favorite things about being the editor in chief. For advice that I would give, I would say, one piece of advice that really helped me, that I was actually told when I received a scholarship. What they actually did, it was like the Gelb scholarship. When you received it, they gave you like these rocks that had these inspirational messages painted on them. And one of the ones I received, I actually have it right here, and it just says, "Say yes." And so my advice would be just say yes. Just do what you can do. Just go out there, say yes to whatever opportunity you have. Just try it out. And if you like it, it'll stick. And just try out different things, and just take all the opportunities you have, experiment with them, and really just do it, And because if you don't try it, you'll never know if it's for you, if it's not for you. I know it's kind of a cliche, but that's the best way to just figure it out. Because I was really shy. I was really scared to when I first started. Every time I had an interview, I was always very nervous for it. I still am a little bit, not as much. It's something that you'll work on over time. But just say yes. Just say yes to whatever opportunities come your way, and make the most of them. Even if it's not in journalism, if you want to try something else, it's still same advice still goes. Just say yes. Just try it out.
We're obviously we can't ever control where we're going to end up, but where do you see your journey ending up next?
Well, one thing I've been doing right now is I've been doing camera work at sports games at CSUN for ESPN Plus. So I'm hoping I could, I'm planning to apply for like some jobs at ESPN, and I'm hoping I could get one of those. But I know it's obviously ESPN. It's a big platform. I might not get it, but hopefully I get a job somewhere in like sports reporting, sports broadcasting. If not that, I've also met with some recruiters for some news groups like Sinclair. They visited our TV news station on Campus Valley View, and I've spoken with some of them. So a job like that, maybe like in Bakersfield, somewhere like close to home, ideally, because I don't want to leave the state. Like a job like that, like a producer job, perhaps that would also be another thing that I'm interested in as my next step. Just something to really get my foot in the door because I have been so focused on my campus and I haven't really done too much outside of it on like both my campuses. So either of those things really to get my foot in the door.
I love it. I love it, Edward. I can already see it right now, brother. I'm going to be tuning in to some Kings games in a couple years, and I'm going to tune in. I'm going to be like, what the heck? There's Edward. And you're going to be right there delivering the news that we all want to hear, that the Kings win.
Oh yeah, I hope so. And I'll bring back Bob Miller to do a game with me.
There you go. There you go. I love that, Edward. And just in closing, my friend, I just want to say thank you once again for taking some time out of your schedule for joining us on the show.
I appreciate that. And I really loved your energy as well when I met you, just the positive energy that kind of just radiates from you. You're just this positive person. So I really love talking to you both when we did the interview for the story and also now. And I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity to go out here and speak to you about my journey. And I also, like you said, you could see me, doing some Kings games or Lakers games. I could see you being, one of the top directors in Hollywood one day and doing these big blockbuster hits and these big movies that everybody's gonna go and want to check out. I'm excited both to see your future and to see my future and where we go. And I think we could both accomplish great things.
And in closing, is there a place where people can check out some of your past stories? Where can people find you online?
If you go to the Daily Sundial website, you'll see all the stories that we do at the Daily Sundial. You'll see my stories and all the stories of our other amazing writers and editors as well. And right now we're really pushing out a lot of stories about a lot of things. Please check us out there. And of course, we have all of our social media with the Daily Sundial. If you want to check out some of my old stories from LAVC, you could go to the Valley Star website there's a page there for like former editors where you could find me and see my stories. And also for a quick shameless plug, I do have a new podcast that I started called the Air to Air Jordan. It's a
Nice.
basketball podcast, as you might guess, where I go through who I think are my top 10 most iconic players of the 21st century. That's why it's Air to Air Jordan. It's the people who came after MJ, who's probably the most iconic player of all time.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just released my first episode on Podbean. That's my hosting platform, but it's also on a lot of different platforms as well, where you could check it out. And my Instagram is at Air to Air Jordan podcast. And the Daily Sundial. Please check out the Daily Sundial. Follow us on our social media. Check out our stories.
Amazing. And we'll, of course, link all that in the description below. But Edward, just thanks again for being on the show.
Of course, thank you for having me.